Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, Ralph Marlborough here. We need your support to keep Saints Happy Hour going this offseason. Please support the show by becoming a patron so we can continue to cover the Saints in the ridiculous fashion you've come to expect. If you support the show, you get access to the podcast ad-free. No ads ever. Plus, you get our world-famous booze bundle, 4 swag items, amazing, and you get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7. So please support Saints Happy Hour so we can keep this amazing community growing. Support the show at saintshappyhour.com today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. It's Wednesday night, so that means we are doing the Locker Room app live chat. If you're not joining us live, download the app, put it on your phone, follow Saints Happy Hour, join us next week. We interact with people, they ask us questions, we give away prizes if they make us laugh. It's great fun. We're building a little audience. Andrew, remember, like the first time we did it, it was me and you. Tonight we got 6, 7, 8 people joining. It'll be fun. And we'll do it next week too, right before the day before the draft. So that'll be fun. But me and Andrew, we're always kicking around ideas, and we're trying to figure out like what do people want for the draft, analyzing like people, players we don't like, and this and that. And the one thing that Andrew said, Andrew, you texted me, you're like, screw all this negative crap. I'm tired of people saying the draft is nothing but luck and the Saints can't do 2017 draft again. You said they can goddamn do that draft again. They can have a great draft. What's stopping them? And they can be a championship team. They can nail this draft. They have 4 picks in the top 105. So we said, hey, we get in locker room tonight. Let's do a realistic scenario where the Saints have a great draft. So before we start that mock, Andrew, in your mind, what would constitute just a fantastic draft where after Thursday, Friday, and the first couple rounds, you'd be like, this draft is awesome. This is the draft that dreams are made of.
Andrew, I muted myself, and then I couldn't figure out how to get back in the room. Yeah, I don't know what happened to my headphones. My kids took it or something, and so I don't know. I was kind of left scrambling. But I don't know how they're going to do it, Ralph. I just know that from what I've been told, like there's just a lot of excitement in the building. There's a lot of confidence, and here's what I think about the Saints. You know, it's been all about Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
That's right.
To an extent, Mickey Loomis. But it's really been, since 2006, it's been a two-headed monster of Payton and Brees. And I would argue that over the last 3 years, as much success as we've seen from that team, Brees and Payton have kind of underperformed. And what I mean by that is, you know, with Brees, it's obvious. You look at his age, his decline physically, he's been injured. And, you know, I think Brees has played great for a 40-year-old quarterback. I mean, you look at his quarterback rating, his efficiency. I mean, he was able to compete and manage himself as best he could. But I would just say that he was on a clear decline where, like, he wasn't necessarily living up to his legend. And in Sean Payton's case, while I think he did a tremendous job on the whole, you look at how Mike Zimmer kind of outcoached him in a couple playoff games. Even the playoff games that the Saints have won the last couple years, the Eagles game didn't feel that great. The Chicago game didn't feel that great.
No.
So, like, I don't think the Saints have killed it in the playoffs. Now, some of it's been circumstantial. You know, the Rams game obviously was horrible, but I don't know that when I look at Breeze and Peyton and how great they've been over the course of their history, I don't know that I would say those are the ones that really carried the franchise these past few years. What has carried the franchise, in my opinion, has been the process. They got Jeff Ireland in the building. They completely revamped their scouting department, and their process is what made them 13-3, way more than Sean Payton's play calling. Now, look, Sean Payton's a big part of that, obviously, but his play calling, Drew Brees' performance on the field, I think that's been less responsible for these 13-3 seasons than the process. And so as we move into an era without Drew Brees, I think that's what's got to make you excited. They know this process. They've nailed it several years in a row, and I just think everything is there for them to nail it again.
Yeah, so we got a request to speak. So, Philip, tell us what will constitute a great draft in your mind for the Saints in 2021.
Well, guys, longtime listener, first time caller from Illinois. So, and honestly, I was calling. I had an entry for your draft rumor that would cause someone to fall. I want J.C. Horn in the building, just like his dad, and I think JC was learned a little too much from his dad, and he. I'm hearing that he knocked up the left tackle's girlfriend at Carolina.
Stop. I thought you were going to say he committed. I thought you were going to say he committed Medicare fraud, like Joe Horn, where he was getting the illegal payments from the player concussion fund.
No. I think he. You know, the whole Willie Rofe, Joe Horn.
Oh my God.
Fiasco. You know, I think that at the combine, there were people talking about JC and that left tackle there at South Carolina, you know, and his girl, you know.
No, I like the thought, Philip, but they didn't have a combine this year, so we got to workshop it.
Dang it! Well, love the show, guys. Keep it up.
Oh, it's so good, though. It's so funny.
It is. It's so good. Here's the thing that I want to say about Sean Payton and Jameis Winston. And Sean Payton was at the golf tournament this week in New Orleans, and he was playing the celebrity round. But I'm really excited about this year because Sean Payton and Winston both have something to prove. And here's what I mean by that. Jameis Winston, this is it for him, Andrew. If he doesn't succeed with Sean Payton, that'll mean he failed and two Super Bowl winning coaches ran him off. All right. And he will be up. He will turn into the black Ryan Fitzpatrick, where teams will like sign him, but he'll never be the guy. He'll just be the bridge to the guy when they find him. Right. So, and Jameis.
Yeah. I mean, typical Ralph, I think you're going to the extreme. But I think.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What you're getting at is mostly accurate. And what I mean by that is, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a guy that's bouncing around the league and getting starting jobs. Like, I think he's going to be Washington's starting quarterback this year. So he is given the keys of the car again.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, I do think there is a couple variables. I mean, I think there's a scenario where Jameis plays so well that the Saints don't re-sign him because they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to pay you that much money, and someone else does. And
you know,
he kind of revitalizes himself and he goes elsewhere. I think there's a couple scenarios where he plays pretty good and the Saints keep him, or he plays pretty good and the Saints move on, but he still gets opportunities. And then I think the scenario that you're really painting is he fails. And I think if he fails in New Orleans, I think you're right. If Tampa, you know, after his 30 interception season, Tampa wins a Super Bowl, and on the heels of that, Sean Payton can't fix him. If he has an awful season, I agree with you. I think it's over for Jameis. And by over, I mean he'll still land on his feet somewhere. He'll still be a backup. Like he'll bounce around the league. But I think at that point, the door will be shut. The impression of him around the league, like that will seal his fate. And he's nothing more than a talented guy that just can't put it all together. And well, I think that'll be the book on him forever if he's really bad this year.
I just feel like teams – I mean, he'll get – if he goes to the Saints, let's see the Saints go like 9-8 or 8-9, and Jameis has 26 touchdowns, 20 interceptions, and he fumbles 8 times. And the Saints are like, man, that's still pretty Jameis-y. We're moving on. Other teams are going to be like, Sean Payton didn't want you. But I think that kind of performance, he'd get another start. Like, he'd be like,
well, yeah, so, but the picture you're painting there, Ralph, is that he played bad in this, and the team was able to win some games notwithstanding. That's the picture you're painting there. You know, there's another scenario where they're 9-8 and he plays really well and the team around him sucks.
Yeah, that's true. Well, but the other point I was going to make is, I feel like Jameis knows this is his last shot. And I think Sean Payton is really excited, because here's the thing, Andrew. If Sean Payton gets Jameis to start reaching his potential and the Saints go like 11-5 and 12-4, and Jameis, I don't think there's any scenario where he could win the MVP, because I just think his off-the-field baggage, I just think the media will not allow him to win. But let's say the Saints went 12-4 and Jameis is like a top-5 quarterback. That puts Sean Payton on a trajectory to Canton, because then you have – he had Drew Brees, and he turned around Jameis, and maybe Jameis – the Saints keep him, and the Saints have another decade of great quarterback play. And I think that has – I think that opportunity or challenge, whatever you want to call it, for Sean Payton, I think it's energized him with, like, it's a whole new sort of world with the Saints. And I'm excited that they have this sort of combination. I'm excited to see – what it brings, but that brings us back to this draft.
Well,
they have a lot.
I want to say real quick, Ralph, I think Sean Payton probably eventually gets in Canton with his resume as it stands right now. Mm-hmm. You've been doing a great job, by the way, of doing the arithmetic on the 17-game seasons, and you've reverted back to 12-4, 11-5.
Yeah, so I did.
I just want to say you've been doing a great job for a while now.
And I know. Kinda, I'm off the wagon.
You off the wagon, yeah.
I'm off the wagon. It's hard. It is hard. I was doing it. I was committed, and then you just sort of – it's like working out over the holidays. You just lose focus. Right. All right. So we got Matt is gonna. Is a patron, and by the way, you should be a patron. We have fun in the Discord, but Matt is a patron. He is a draft. He's almost as hardcore as Andrew. So Matt wants to say a thing before we kick off this draft that we're going to try to make it as perfect as we can. Matt, you know the draft. So what do you like? Like when I'm in the Discord Saturday night after Thursday and Friday, what do this? And you don't have to give me specific players necessarily, but what do you want that you'll be like? This draft is the bomb, and you will be super excited Saturday night when me and you were drunk in the Discord channel at like 11 o'clock at night, and it's just me and you in there.
Yeah. I think primarily it has to go similar to 2017, where you just get lucky and certain players just follow you. Like praying that Caleb Farley does become the Ram check of the group and he falls to us at 28. Hoping that, you know, some guys were like borderline first round talent, you know, they could have gone the first round, just miraculously falls to us at 60. It's just these little things that just you want to go right and just go perfectly. Like, I looked at one of the latest mock drafts from TDN from a guy named Ben Solak. He had perhaps probably one of your favorites, Ralph, where we take Greg Newsom at 28, and somehow in some way Gregory Rousseau, edge rusher from Miami, falls to us at 60. I think if that were to happen, Ralph, you would be dancing on Mars.
Well, I get Russo in the other edge. Is Russo the guy that just opted out, or is he the guy that had concussions and retired?
No, that's Jalen Phillips was the guy who got opted out with concussions. Russo, I think he opted out in 2020 for a different reason, but he doesn't have like any durability issues or concerns.
Andrew, talk about it, and then we'll get to it. That would be fine by me. Like,
yeah, pass rush is such a – there's no way he's falling to 60. There's just so many teams that – it's funny. I was listening to Amina Kimes' podcast where she did every NFL team. And, I mean, not surprisingly, every single team, it's like they need a cornerback, they need edge, they need offensive line. It's like every team you hear her talk about it, it's like – and it's like, okay, corner – we need a corner, but that doesn't freak me out as much because this draft is really deep at corners. And like, you'll even at 60, if you wait till 60, like I think you can get a pretty good one. But then you start hearing offensive line. Well, this is actually a really deep draft for the offensive line too. And the Saints are maybe less needy there. But then, you know, you just hear about, first of all, defensive interior defense and edge. This is a weak draft for both of those. And we just lost three guys on the defensive line. Our rotation is very thin right now. And so that whole deal makes me nervous because Russo, I mean, I promise you, he's not going to be.
Nah, I think Phillips might be falling to 60 rather than Russo just because teams are going to look at that three concussions ago. I might not want to spend a first-round pick on him, but he's there at second, I'll roll the dice.
At 60, I'd be like, give me the dice.
Yeah. Well, I just think he'll go before 60. I think as soon as the second day starts, you know, because remember, the second day starts at 33. I mean, you're talking about 27 picks later. So I just think by the time you're at 40, if you need edge and somehow you didn't address it in the first round, like he's if he lasts in between the 40s and 50s, like there's no way he's going to make it to 60.
Yeah, I just feel like they're going to go after guys like, what's his name? I think the guy from Penn State that blew up the pro day.
Oh, Jason, no sacks in his last season at Penn State.
Yeah, they might have to also go after Joe Tryon or probably, or something like that. But I feel like when there's a player with durability issues, they'll go with a guy that has similar talent but without that injury concern. And then once, you know, the talent pool starts dropping and the best ones, you know, one of the premier guys, but he has a little durability concern, they'll roll that dice.
Yeah. The OE guy, he has a very, very, very strong Mike Mamula.
Yeah. He reminds me of Owe Melifonwu, where everyone fell in love with this guy because he had a fantastic combine, but forgot he didn't give two craps about playing football. It's why he's out of the league already. And I don't know if Owe is probably going to be the same guy. You know, he doesn't care about football, but you do not want to fall in love with a workout warrior.
I mean, it's one thing if they like underachieve. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're a workout warrior and you have no sacks, I haven't watched a second of that dude's tape. That is a giant flashing red light, Andrew. Like,
well, Sean Payton says it all the time. He wants guys that love football. He wants smart players that love football. Those are traits that are, you know, non-negotiables for Sean Payton. And I mean, look, if you're going to be a professional in the league, you got to love it. Like, $1 million are nice and all. Like, the pay is nice, but to be successful and good, you have to, I mean, look at Kamara, rookie of the year. We talk about how much his body composition changed. Like, you have to be reinventing yourself constantly. You have to have this obsession with getting better, watching tape, working out, eating right, sleeping right, just constantly obsessing about it. And if you're not one of those guys, then you're going to flame out pretty quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt, thanks for the help with the draft picks.
Hi, this is Ralph Marlboro from the Saints Happy Hour podcast. It's that time of year again. All eyes are on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head over to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline. We are on the Locker Room app every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, talking Saints, talking NFL, talking draft. It's amazing. You can interact with us, goof at us, you can make fun of me, mispronounce names, you can ask serious draft questions about Andrew. We're having a blast talking Saints live. All you have to do is go download the Locker Room app for free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and then join the NFL group. Follow me at Saints Happy Hour to be notified when the room goes live. We'll be going live every Wednesday at around 9 o'clock to talk Saints, to talk draft, and basically to make fun of me mispronouncing names. So do it. Download the Locker Room app today and then join us live every Wednesday at 9 o'clock.
We're starting this draft. And before I hit start on the PFF mock simulator, what is our goal? Because we're trying to create a great draft for the Saints. Realistically, you know, we're not going to trade up for Trevor Lawrence and give him a fifth and a sixth. But I feel like if we get to pick 15 and there is still a top corner there or the linebacker from Notre Dame, we have got to move. And I always butcher his name. What is it? Karamoah?
Yeah. Oh, you're getting closer, man. You're getting it's Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. You're getting closer.
Koramoah. So yeah. So I ran the draft, and here's the thing. I stopped it at pick 18 with Miami because Miami is always willing to deal. The Saints have done a deal with them for Eric McCoy, right? They traded down from 3 to 12, then back up from 12 to 6. And they're thinking maybe they said that they have offers for 3. They may trade down again. So I stopped it at 18. And here's the reason why. Karamoah is there. And Newsom is there still at 18. If we're the Saints and we are trying to create a great draft for them, and you can get up to that range by giving a third and a fourth or a third this year and a third next year, do you want to move up to get the corner or the Notre Dame linebacker, or do you want to wait at 28? What's the best – what in your mind helps you create the dream draft for the Saints in 2020?
Yeah. So I want to back up for a sec. And I want to – you mentioned, like, what's the dream draft for the Saints? You know, and I'm going to bring it home to this 18th pick in a second. But I would really love to have – and if it costs me my first next year, I would consider it. Although I'd be nervous because, you don't give up a first unless you're pretty certain you're going to have a really good team, right? And you don't give up your first next year unless you think that first is going to be 25 or lower, right?
Yeah.
So if we're not certain we're going to be 25th, picking 25th or lower, then I question whether we should be trading our first. But we know we've got a bunch of thirds next year. So I think we go into this draft, Ralph, like we're trading the 2022 second. Like we're using that as a piece. And ideally I'd love to pick, if you can package that second and you know, the Saints have two thirds. If we can somehow get three picks in the top 60,
mm-hmm.
by packaging the thirds that they have, and packaging the second round pick next year, 2022, if the Saints could pick three times in the top 60, the positions I really want to address are, first and foremost, you got to get a corner, period, end of story, ideally a starter. And that's why I want to trade here mm-hmm. at 18 and go up and get Greg Newsom. I know Uosu-Koromoa's there, but to me, like, and trust me, I'm not on the Chase Hansen hype train. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. one of those delusional Chase Hansen might work out. Like, that's great if he does, but I'm not counting on that. So
well, here,
we need a linebacker, but starting corner to me is most critical.
Here's the thing. I traded 28 and the 2022 second round pick, and it got me to 18.
Wow.
They accepted it. Here's the thing, though, Andrew. You want your dream draft? It just got a lot harder because J.C. Horn, Koromoa, and Greg Newsom, they're all there. What you doing at 18?
Oh, so this one's tough because I feel like J.C. Horn, I mean, you know this, Ralph. He tested off the charts. To me, his ceiling is higher than Greg Newsom. Greg Newsom is just a solid pick. I just know he's going to be a solid player, you know. And it's like, do you want – and J.C. Horn, to me, is a guy that's like, you could be getting another Lattimore, or you could be getting Patrick Robinson. With Greg Newsom, you're getting Jabari Greer.
That's what I was just gonna say. Like Greg Newsom, you're getting Jabari Greer.
I'm not making comps here. Like Newsom's obviously a different player, and he's taller than Jabari. I'm just talking like career arc performance on the field.
Yeah, like Jabari Greer. He wasn't a high pick, and he got a big second contract from the Saints. But and like. If I said to you, the Saints could get a Jabari Greer out of this draft, normally you'd be like, hell yes. Give me Jabari Greer and slide him next to Lattimore. Thank you very much. We're done. The thing about J.C. Horn that – and it annoys me with these drafts, the PFF guys, some of them hate J.C. Horn. And the reason they hate him is they're like, he can only play man. He's too handsy. He can't play off coverage. But my thing is like – can't you teach him that? Can't that doesn't seem like it isn't like he's too small, his arms are too short, he can't run. Like that's just he doesn't know how to do something. So get Richard and teach his ass to play off coverage. Like, can he learn it? Is he dumb? Like I don't think that's a reason.
Well, I mean, not only that, but the Saints primarily run man press, so
yeah. So I think we gotta take Horn here, right? Like we gotta.
Oh, but I love Newsom. I'm such a Newsom stan. I don't know. Put it to a vote. Is anyone I don't know, what do you guys prefer between Horn and Newsom? See if anyone wants to speak up. I know Matt prefers Newsom. Is there anyone else that would prefer Newsom?
I want Horn. I'm a Horn stan because I want Joe Horn crying at his son.
All right, Chris says he wants Horn. All right, let's go Horn, you know,
for
you know, the Joe Horn connection and all that.
So Koromoa just went, but here's the thing, as we...
So wait, you took J.C. Horn, right?
I took J.C. Horn. So here's the thing. I paused it with the, you've still got Rondale Moore. You got Moore, the receiver from Minnesota. You know, you still
Moore,
got Ben.
Moore did not go to Minnesota.
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Bateman.
Bateman is still there. Tony is still there.
What pick are we at?
I paused it. We're at pick 33. I'm just saying, like, if we want to move up again, who do we want to target with that next pick? Because we got our corner. So we got somebody. David, you want to talk? So what do you want to do with pick 60? And do you feel like maybe we need to move up from 60 to have the dream draft to get another player? And if they did that, who would it be?
Yeah, that was what I was asking about. I was asking, when you're making your decision on what to do at 18, I think it depends on what the Falcons did at 4.
Oh, that was a good question. The Falcons at 4, they did Devonta Smith.
Okay, so basically what we're learning is that your simulator kind of got bugged on this draft, right? Because basically they're going to do one of three things, two of which make a lot of sense and one of which makes a little sense. Like, the Falcons are either going to be getting their, like, you know, quarterback of the future, or they're going to be getting, like, an offensive lineman to protect their current quarterback, or they're going for, like, the biggest weapon that they're able to find, which could be, like, Chase, which could be Smith, which could be Pitts. And the only thing I was saying, the reason I was raising the point is, if Pitts is selected into your division, you have to have a linebacker as a top priority who's able to cover him.
I agree.
Because otherwise, you're going to have to put secondary players trying to cover him, and that's going to break up your whole secondary scheme, mm-hmm. and your defense is going to break down.
I think that's a great point.
So yeah. if that happens, that to me puts a lot more pressure on your GM to say, okay, if we have one of these big, talented linebackers who can cover, because that's what you need. They have to have size, they have to have speed, right? And they have to have some coverage skills.
Yep.
So Parsons clearly has that. Zavin clearly has that. JOK, and that's how you pronounce it, by the way. It's pronounced JOK. Mm-hmm. Like, he clearly has it. Right. So, I mean, that would be something. And the other person who's been covering him with any kind of, like, reliability is also J.C. Horn.
Do we need to go, like, a Bolton here? Or a line? Like, what linebacker? Because, like you said, the Notre Dame linebacker is gone.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't take Pitts here. The Falcons took a receiver. In real life, I would be very surprised to see the Falcons just – you know, look, they spent a first on Julio. They spent a first on Ridley. They're set there. It would be weird to see them. And I really think they're going to take a quarterback. I really think they're going to take Justin Fields. Now, it could be Trey Lance.
Fields, Lance.
Yeah.
Jones.
Now, if they don't Wilson, take a quarterback, I think they're going to trade down. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get the trade offer they want, then and they don't take a quarterback, then, like, option 3 is Kyle Pitts. Like, I think it's in that order. So receiver to me would be after Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
I would be stunned. But yes, if they take Pitts, then I think there's a little bit more pressure to get a cover linebacker.
Yeah. My personal theory is that I think it's going to be hard for a lot of top 10 GMs to be able to end up pulling the trigger on Pitts. I think most GMs that are picking the top 10 have much bigger other needs, or they have a much bigger opportunity to be able to get a quarterback and a quarterback heavy elite tier one quarterback draft where they can start to secure their succession schemes and, like, you know, what their future could look like. And I just think, like, that's what's likely to happen. So I'm but on the flip side, every team wants a player like Pitts. And if Pitts ends up in your division, you just have to have a plan for that. Cause you know, the game's changing a little bit when you're playing him twice a year for the next decade, right? So I just think the GMs just need to, like, you know, think about that if he's put into your division. That said, well, I think J.C. Horn was a terrific pick.
I and thanks, David, for chiming in. To me, Andrew, I would love a wide receiver.
I'm shocked Rashad Bateman is still out there. And I know Matt just said he likes Tony. Tony's probably more electric. You know, he's just a speed demon, kind of explosive player. Think like Curtis Samuel, who was with the Panthers, mm-hmm. you know, kind of that makeup. I just like Bateman. And the reason I like Bateman is that he's 6'2", he's a little bit bigger, he's productive player in college, and he was a beast at Minnesota. And I just think Bateman as an outside receiver paired with an arm like Jameis Winston could do serious damage in this league. He's the kind of like I just look back at Jameis and what he was able to do with a body like Breshad Perriman and mm-hmm. what he was able statistically to rack up with Perriman, and I just think Bateman would be a guy that put him at number two next to Michael Thomas, and he would tear it up.
Yeah, so here's the question, though. How high do you think we need to go once I push this button?
Well, I'm shocked that he's still there at 33. So is Marshall gone? Did Marshall go before Bateman?
He did. Marshall. Wow. Marshall went to the Patriots at 15.
Whoa.
Which is kind of nuts. Kadarius Toney went. Asante Samuel went 31. So he's still there.
But what are the receivers left?
It's weird. It's Bateman.
Uh-huh.
And then it's you have Bateman, Moore.
I don't like Rondell Moore. He's like 5'9".
Rondell Moore.
Tiny. Yeah.
You've got that's about it. Oh, you got Elijah Moore. You got Dimey Brown.
I thought you said Kadarius Toney was in the mix too.
No, Kadarius Toney went to Green Bay.
Oh, so he's gone.
So that's the thing. Like those three guys, and then it falls off a cliff, and you got Josh Palmer is the next available. So like those three dudes. So like I don't know.
Yeah, my thing is I want to try to keep that 60, and I think it's gonna be tough to do that and get Bateman. You're gonna have to give up 60 and package it with a third, probably, right?
Yeah, you probably have to give up 60 and one of the – you'd have to – 60 and 98. So, then you're only going to get – you're probably only going to get two players in the top 60.
Your outdoor experiences could be better, clearly better. Canon's sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. Using Japanese optics, Canon's lenses are clearer, lighter, and stronger than other lenses, and are nearly impossible to scratch. With frames handcrafted in Italy, Canon's sunglasses elevate your experiences outside with a degree of clarity beyond your wildest imagination. Use the exclusive code CanonCast15 at Canon.com to receive 15% off your first pair. That's Canoncast15, Canon, clearly better. Hi, this is Ralph Marlboro from the Saints Happy Hour podcast. It's that time of year again. All eyes are on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head over to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline.
Here's the thing that would be interesting. Let's look and see. I want to make the case for something that to make this draft go is, you know, we think running back. But wide receiver. What if you go running back? What if you go running back here? You still got Travis Etienne. You still got Michael Carter. Like you know.
What's the point in giving Kamara all this money if, like, there's too many needs on this roster? No way.
Yeah.
I want to go get Bateman. Now, look, I almost feel like if you get Bateman and Najee Harris has got to be gone by now, right? You can get Bateman and we drafted J.C. Horn. If you can get Horn and Bateman out of this draft, like, to me, it's a big success.
All right, so
because everything else you draft is going to be a crapshoot anyway.
So to get to 60-33, like, that's going to cost you. We already burned next year's two.
Let's roll the dice here. Let's let it go to 36, and then pause it again.
All right. So he's still there
at 36.
He's still there when it's Miami. Man, the Saints can do business with Miami.
All right, offer them 60-98 and see what they say.
They said no.
What about 60-98 and a seventh?
No again. What do we want to give the four? Do we want to give them 133?
Yeah.
All right, 60-98 and 133. They said yes.
Bateman, welcome to the New Orleans Saints.
So now you got Horn, you got Bateman, but you got to pick 105. So now we'll fire it up. I don't think you
can. Can we package 105 and a 2022-3? Because we got a bunch of them.
We do.
If we can get back in the top 100.
All right. So let's do that. So here's the thing. Like, we'll let it go. So it's through round three. So who would be a guy that we would want? And by the way, pipe up in the chat room and throw a name out, and I'll tell you if he's available. But who's a guy in round three that you would want to get?
I'm thrilled we got a corner. Thrilled we got a receiver. To me, I would love to get some defensive line help, but I just think this draft sucks in that area. So, like, to me, it's like if you can try to get yourself a linebacker. So I guess I would ask, like, is Davis of Kentucky, is he still out there? Bolton of Missouri, is he still out there? Jabril Cox.
Jabril Cox is still there. We can play the Go Tigers. I like that. I'm going to run it. I'm going to let it run until pick 75, and we'll see what when they get there. So really we're going to target a linebacker. So, I'll tell you what, 75, Davis is still there at 75, Jamin Davis from UK, and he scares me because he's a guy that's kind of a 1 year player. But I'm going to tell you, if you got Horn, you got Bateman, and you got Davis, I might do the live stream shirtless.
Yeah, like, and Davis, just so you know, he has like DeMario Davis type combine. Like, he's 6'4". First of all, you know, the Saints like their linebackers big, but like, he ran a 4.4 at his pro day. I saw, like, he had some kind of like record for highest vertical ever by a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his testing was off the freaking charts. And this mock is bullshit, I just want to say, because like, some people have Davis going in the first round because of how well he tested. Yeah. But, you know, he's one where, like, it depends on who's grading him. He's kind of all over the place. And like you said, he really just had that one good year. So, but yeah, at this stage, yeah, go get him. Absolutely.
All right. So we'll try to give him, we gotta give him 133. That's all we have left. So we got to give him one. We got to get to, I let it go to 80. So we got to go from 133 to 80. So the draft chart says we get to give him our fourth and a fourth next year that we think we'll get for Hendrickson?
Yeah.
Okay. And they said yes. So we got to 85 and we got Davis. So.
And we're out of picks, right?
Well, no, we still got, Well, we could still we could do 218, 229, and 255. Okay. I mean, but the main we might even do that because we're going to wrap up in about 10 minutes. Well, so but I mean that draft. I want people to chime in on the chat. Like that draft to me, I can tell you the draft nerds would hate it because you, for the Saints you would have burned your 2022 second and a 2022 fourth and your
extra. That's really not that bad.
You know?
It's really not that bad. I mean, this draft feels a lot like the reason I don't think this draft is very realistic is I just don't think that this draft strategy is very 2020 for the Saints. It's very like we're going to leave this draft with Ruiz, Troutman, and Bond, and we're going to be happy with it. Now, I will say this. If we leave this draft with Bateman, J.C. Horn, and Davis, like that feels way better than last year's draft. If those are the three guys, like I would be way more excited about these three. So, you know, as far as that's concerned, it would be great. But the flip side of that is I think we need more depth. We need more players. We need more bodies. And so that's why I don't know about this draft working out. But, like, would I give up what we gave up to get the guys we got? Absolutely.
I mean, to me, I don't necessarily think the Saints would go this insane like we're doing. But I'm going to be really, really surprised, Andrew. If on draft night next Thursday, if Horn or Newsom or Fairley, if one of those guys gets to pick 18 to 20, I'm going to be really surprised if the Saints can restrain themselves and not trade up. Because Sean Payton said at the golf tournament, cornerback is a must. And I just look at the Saints. They're going to have those tiers of corners, right? And if one of the top tier guys is within their grasp, I just find that the Saints, their history.
I totally agree.
They're not going to be able to resist.
Like, no, they're not. They're going to. It's going to be one of those situations where they're going to say, "Okay, J.C. Horn's gone, Surtain's gone." And then it's going to get to like 18 or 20, like you said, and Newsom's still going to be there. And the Saints are just going to look at it as we got to go get him.
Yeah. Like if all the corners are like, if the top four guys are boom, 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 and they're all gone by like 16, 17, I think the Saints will just pivot and be like, look, we really wanted a corner, but the top tier guys are gone. We'll focus on that. Maybe at 60. Let's see the best player available at 28. Maybe it's a linebacker we like. Maybe it's an interior Barmore, whatever. Maybe it's another guy. Because going up from 28 to 17, that costs you both thirds. Like you could do it, but it'd take both of your thirds. And I think that may be too steep of a price to pay because of the roster needs they have. But I just think you remember 2014 and that deep wide receiver draft.
Yeah,
the Saints were just like, we need a receiver, and they were just like, we're going. And I think they moved from like in 2013, I think they picked about the same spot here because in 2013, they went to the playoffs, they beat Philadelphia, they got to the divisional round. So they picked about this spot again. Maybe it was a little bit lower. I think they picked 26 then. So like they moved from 26 to 18, 19, and it was a third round pick. And I just feel like they know they need a corner. And because Andrew, what do you think in your mind? What's the drop between those four corners and number five? Like how big of a chasm is it?
Sorry, say again. What picks? Oh, you mean cornerbacks, the fifth best corner?
Yeah. Yeah, like the what's the difference?
Are we saying Farley is the fourth best?
Whoever you like. If you think Newsom's number four, how big a gap is between four and five?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, I would say this. I mean, I think Newsom's maybe the second best corner in the draft. I mean, he certainly is. He's certainly at least a third, you know. But Farley, to me, is probably your fourth. And then after that, I mean, I think there's a pretty significant drop-off, you know. And I think that's where it starts to get really muddied, and it depends on the evaluator. It depends on the team. It depends on what you're looking for. It depends on what you value. So it's kind of all over the place after that. But, I mean, there's a number of guys. If you value size and you value length, then Asante Samuel's not your guy, you know. And Javon Holland's a guy that some people like a lot, but he opted out. And Aaron Robinson at UCF is – he's – more of a slot guy, an oversized slot guy. And Kelvin Joseph of Kentucky, his evaluation's all over the place. So, like, some people think Eric Stokes is going to be a first-round pick. You know, and he's got nice speed, but he was a little shaky in terms of his performance on the field. So, yeah, I would say that after – I feel like Farley's weird in that he's kind of like the number four corner, but I think he's got the medical question marks. I think Asante Samuel Jr. is clearly the fifth best. And I think there's a question mark for the Saints because I don't know if he fits their prototype. I think size might be too much of a ding for the Saints to take him.
Here's my question, and we wrap this up. And guys, if you want to chime in, and Matt says the cornerback class is a bit weird after the top four. It is. It's like Andrew said, it's just a grab bag. And that's why Matt, you just make the case stronger for if you and Andrew are like, I think it's a grab bag. I think the Saints probably think that too, and it just pushes it further to, we got to get one of those four dudes. We got to get one of those four dudes. But here's a final thought, and I want, if anybody in the chat room has this. Andrew, if I said you can have this draft that we just did where you get Newsome, or you get J.C. Horn, you get Bateman, and you get Davis, and you get those three guys, and that's an amazing draft. Or you can have a draft where you still get three of the top 100 players, but you have to trade out of 28, but you get a 2022 first round pick. And I won't tell you I can't tell you the players because we're not going to do another hour on another mock draft. But if I told you, you can have this dream draft that we all love, or you can have a 2022 first round pick. Which scenario do you think is a better way for the Saints to build and be good now and in the future?
Does that just assume that we're making a pick at 28?
No. It assumes that you're trading out of 28 and you're getting a 2020. You're getting an extra 2022 first round. Somebody wants to come up for Mac Jones or whoever.
Okay.
The hell.
And so are you still picking high in the second round and you keep 60 as well?
Yeah, like you would pick like let's say it would be the Broncos would trade, you would go from 28 to 40. So you would have 40, yeah. 60, and 98. And you would get them 2022 first.
I think right now, if you're the Saints, you have to take it. The reality of the cap, the reality of you being the unknown of Jameis Winston, the uncertainty of your both quarterbacks being in contract years. I think you've got to take a long-term view this year more than ever. So I would take the first round pick next year.
Yeah.
Depends on the team too, in the sense that, you know, it depends on the team in the sense that if it's a team that I think is going to have a great pick next year, potentially, then it's more attractive to me.
Yeah. If Carolina wanted, like, say for whatever reason, like Carolina, they love another quarterback that's not great, and they're like, we got to get this quarterback because we don't know about next year's quarterback draft, and we like Kyle Trask, and they want to go, and you can go from 28 to 39. Like, I would do that in a heartbeat because I think Carolina, there's a good potential that they're going to be bad again next year. So, like, and two first round picks is fun. But Andrew, as much as I have been saying that is my best case scenario for the building of the future, if you could get me J.C. Horn, Bateman, and Davis, I think I'd just take that. Like that, because my feeling is two of those three
That's
dudes
so good.
Are probably going to be good, right? Like one of them might be a bust or end up not disappointing you, but two of those dudes are going to be good. And I just feel like if you hit on Davis or J.C. Horn, say one of them's good and one of them flops, and Bateman's really good at receiver, whoo, you can cook and you can win a fifth straight division title. Like, because I would love – that's why we did this. That's why we did this exercise. We wanted to come up with a dream draft. So this has been incredibly fun. You know, but as I said before you joined us, Andrew, the NFL, this just stretching out the draft and putting it at the end of April, I don't like it. They need to move it to, like, the beginning or the middle of April. Stretching it out to, like, further and further, it drives me nuts. Because we run out of things to talk about. But I will say this. If the Saints do this draft and they end up with these three players, I will do the live stream shirtless. And Matt is good at bookmarking and remembering all my wild promises. So, Matt, bookmark this. Save it. If they end up drafting these three guys, I'll do the live stream shirtless when they make the third pick. So, guys, thanks for joining us. Support the show. If you don't support the show, consider doing it. Become a patron. We do this Saints podcast every freaking day. We're the number one Saints podcast in Malta again. Why wouldn't you support us? Why wouldn't you want to listen to this great content every single day? We appreciate everybody for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.